loving the chatter in here. It's the good holiday vibes. Can I do a bit of a hand show? Who's back at work this week? All the amazing teachers, leaders. I know, you're smiling, you're happy, you're rested. I just pray that this year would be an awesome, epic year for you as you lead all those little ones. The wisdom, the insight, the love, the grace, the mercy would be with you as you go into this year. Welcome to everyone here this morning. If you are new, it is so great that you are here today. If you maybe just come in and you have thought that I want to explore this idea of faith, you're in a great place. We're here all on that same journey to be able to discover what it looks like to be able to follow Jesus. And we're in this series at the moment called Wisdom on Shuffle. And this Wisdom on Shuffle comes from the book of Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament of the Bible. And there is a lot of insight and gleaning and learning and wisdom that we can take from this book of Proverbs that will help our life to be enriched, that we too would be able to bear this fruit of wisdom that is being shown here in the book of Proverbs. It is written by King Solomon. And does anyone know how many Proverbs King Solomon wrote? 3,000. I know, right? And he didn't live like, you know how some people in the Bible live to like 800 years old? He wasn't one of those people. He lived to around 60 years old and started off in teens. And so he wrote a lot of these Proverbs in the wisdom that we will glean from today. And we're going to open that up. And to be able to do that, what I also actually, as we talk about wisdom, this week I acknowledged this moment in our staff office where there was two of our staff leaders, you may know them, Daniel Campbell and JP. So Daniel and JP, they're brother-in-laws as well, both full of wisdom and insight. But there was this moment that they were chatting in the hallway just by my office there in Mullaloo. And they're talking about the thermostat on the air conditioner. Anyone else have these conversations? But Fiona Jones is not here. Whenever she was in the office with us, she would like just love it freezing cold. North Shore friends, you might be able to experience that right now. Fiona's furnace is what we'd call it when she would want to crank up the heat. But this moment that was happening between, dialogue that was happening between both Daniel and JP, where Daniel was talking to JP about keeping this temperature gauge at 24 degrees. Yeah. You know it, right? My husband, he comes and tells me this all the time also. And Daniel's wisdom in this moment was saying, JP, you don't need to put it to 18 because the thermostat will keep it. JP, who doesn't pay the bills, is that right, Rochelle? Rochelle's our mum's at the back there, who's like, no. And Daniel goes through the whole explanation of why keep it at 24. The thermostat comes on and off. We'll regulate it at that temperature. And JP's still at the end. He's like, no way. Keep it 18, it stays cold, let that thing work for as long as it needs to work and get that room icy. But we are going to look at some Proverbs today in chapter 10, and we're going to open up the word, and for us today that we would learn something from these wisdom, from these scriptures that were written all that time ago, that for us today that they are applicable to our life. That if we would keep our hearts open, our ears attentive, our lives available to be moved by God, that he would speak to us this morning to be able to change our life to be more like Christ. Everyone ready for that? Amen. Well, in order to do that, I'm going to invite one of the wise women of our church to come and read with me from Proverbs. This is Margaret Jones. She's come on up, Margs. Call her Mugs. She's going to come and she's going to read out with me some of these verses from chapter 10. One chapter. Otherwise, we'll be here all night, wouldn't we, Margaret? Huh? You won't. She's like, I'm making this fast, Michelle. So I'll also be up in this. If you haven't met Margaret, how long have you been at church?
What?
Over here, True North.
Oh, since it first started.
Where's your microphone? Here we go. We need that. We need the microphone like this.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. This is great.
I'm already a
failure. There is some wisdom from the young ones as well, isn't there? Just how to use the microphone.
Yeah. I first started coming to this church when it was in a little shop, place down the street from here. Nolan Way, and it was about 25 people there. That's 25 years ago, about.
So as she reads these words with me, it's a woman who has walked with Jesus, a woman who has raised 5 boys, and she is witty, and she has wisdom, and she's a joy to be around. So if you don't know her and haven't had a conversation, get around this lady. But we're going to read now from Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to, in verse 1, and we're going to read that together. It'll be on the screens.
I'm the green.
Yeah, listen. Right.
A wise son brings joy to his father.
But a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value.
But righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry.
But he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty.
But diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son.
But he who sleeps during the harvest is a disgraceful son.
Blessings crown the head of the righteous.
But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked.
The name of the righteous is used in blessings.
But the name of the wicked will rot.
The wise in heart accept commands.
But a chattering fool comes to ruin.
Whoever walks in integrity walks securely.
But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin.
The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life.
But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up conflict.
But love covers over all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning.
But a rod is for the back of one who has no sense.
The wise store up knowledge.
But the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor.
The wages of the righteous is life.
But the earnings of the wicked are sin and death.
Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life.
But whoever ignores correction leads others astray. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words.
But the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver.
But the heart of the wicked is of little value.
The lips of the righteous nourish many.
But fools die for the lack of sense.
The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it.
A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes.
But a person of understanding delights in wisdom.
What the wicked dread will overtake them.
What the righteous desire will be granted.
When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone.
But the righteous stand firm forever.
As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are the sluggards to those who send them.
The fear of the Lord adds length to life.
But the years of the wicked are cut short.
The prospect of the righteous is joy.
But the hopes of the wicked come to nothing.
The way of the Lord is a refuge for the blameless.
But it is the ruin of those who do evil.
The righteous will never be uprooted.
But the wicked will not remain in the land.
The mouth of the righteous comes from the fruit of wisdom.
But a perverse tongue will be silenced.
The lips of the righteous know what finds favour.
But the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. Thank you so much. We all thank her. As we've been reading those verses through Proverbs chapter 10, what happens in the book of Proverbs between chapters 10 and 22 is very much along the lines of these two pathways, these parallel ways of living. There is one way that is, as you see, seen between the two dialogues of us reading out the scripture, one of the wise, one of the righteous that walk this pathway. And then there's also this other pathway, parallel alongside of the wicked, of the foolish. And this morning, as we are looking at the scriptures here, we're going to look at this idea of what does it look like for us as believers today to be able to walk in wisdom. Is anyone up for that? Does anyone agree that we may have dabbled in that pathway of foolishness? Maybe just me. Yeah, there you go. We've got one honest friend up the back there. that, you know, we all have these moments, but in our lives where we will do some and say some things that are not walking that pathway of wisdom. But today that we would look at this idea as King Solomon has written these verses, these scriptures, that he was known for his wisdom. In the Bible, it says that there will be none that is more wiser than him. And none that will come that will be more wise than him. That he is this King Solomon that is full of wisdom in his life. So as we look at that, as we look at how do we walk in wisdom? How do we as followers of Christ walk in that? There are some points of which we can see that as we implement these in our lives, that we can start walking in wisdom. When you look at maybe if you're a little bit older in life and, you know, you get those hot flushes like myself, that you can look back and reflect on your life and you think, wow, there were some really foolish ways of living that were like very adamant and very evident in our lives that these ways of where we were walking were not off that pathway of walking in wisdom. But as we walk in wisdom, that we would seek wisdom. That what we see in the life of King Solomon in the book, in the First Kings, that what Solomon was starting out, as his starting out point, what he started with, as he was appointed king, as I said earlier, in his teens, his father David passing on, and he was to step into this role that is far beyond what he thinks that he is capable of. And so in this moment, as he starts off, what he does seek is he seeks wisdom from above. That in a dream in 1 Kings, we see how there's this interaction and God asks him, if like anything you want, Solomon, anything you can ask for, what is it you want, Solomon? And Solomon could have asked for, you know, being in a teens, you know, just wealth and fortune and being an influencer. Doesn't everyone want to be an influencer? All these different things, but he doesn't ask for that. Why don't you turn to your person next to you and if God was to ask you, what is it you want? What would you ask God of? Why don't you take 1 minute and ask someone next to you, tell someone next to you what you would ask for. Okay, we'll bring it back. We can continue those conversations later. I'm not sure what you're asking for. You're like, yeah, I'm, you know, whilst there's all these array of things we could ask for, maybe that, isn't there a $150 million jackpot or something? I don't know if anyone said that. But as we bring it back, church, come on, I let you loose there for 1 minute. I did say a minute. It was probably 20 seconds, but okay. But here's where there was anything Solomon could have asked for. He asked for wisdom. He knew that from such a young age that what he was being stepping into, what he was going to walk in as king of Israel, that he would need wisdom. And he asked for that and God granted that to his life and that he walked in wisdom. And that as he was seeking this wisdom, that he utilized that in the different areas of what God was calling him to. But at this first act of wisdom that we see in the life of Solomon was that you might say, yeah, but I'm not a king. I'm not going to be leading any CEO company. I'm not going to go in these big places. But actually, we all need to seek wisdom. We all need to have that wisdom in our life, do we agree? And what God used, that whilst Solomon was stepping into this high position as king, his first act of wisdom wasn't about that high society or those well-educated or these big moments where he was to be able to act upon using this wisdom. That first moment of what we see in Solomon's life was to be able to deal with this situation where there was these two prostitutes and they were both claiming that this baby was theirs. And that this act of justice that needed to take place, and he, through the wisdom that was given to him, was able to determine whose child it really was. That in our lives, that as we're seeking wisdom, that we would acknowledge that we all need to have this wisdom in our life. It doesn't matter if we are the highfalutin kings, queens, premiers, whatever it is, that each and every one of us would seek and walk this pathway of wisdom, that in our lives that we would desire it, that we would seek it, that in our worlds and in our families, I'm not sure about your family, that, you know, sometimes disputes happen. Would we agree? The disputes happen. The family conflict takes place. You know, that person can't be with that person, and that person shouldn't be in the room when they're there. How do we respond with wisdom? That we would seek wisdom in our everyday. That we would have wisdom when there's work situations taking place. That we won't just respond from a gut reaction, but we will respond from that place of knowing and receiving wisdom from God and responding in that. That we would be able to have that discernment, discerning what is good, discerning what is evil, discerning for our life, the pathway on which we walk, but being able to have that discernment to be able to speak words that are wise. That it's too easy to call someone a fool or someone's this and someone's that. But then how do we speak with words of wisdom in situations that would breathe life, that would help situations be better? That in our lives that we would seek this wisdom on how we order our days. How do our days look? How do our weeks look? How does 2024 look? That we would have wisdom to be discerning as to what our days and times and where we put our hands to would make the most impact for the kingdom of God, right? That we don't just allow the days to be however they're going to be and we just float through 2024 and end up wherever we're going to end up. But we would have wisdom to determine what is our today going to look like. For a Sunday, every Sunday, that we are mapping out our year, that I'm going to be in the house of the Lord, that I am going to praise God on a Sunday at the start of my week. What is it to be able to seek this wisdom for our life, to be able to have that ordered accordingly? That as we seek wisdom, we seek that wisdom with the knowledge that, would you agree that sometimes we have blind spots in our lives? Anyone else? That sometimes the thoughts that what we're thinking in terms of what's happening in front of us, we may not have the full and clear picture because of blind spots that, I'm sorry to tell you, each one of us have. So that wisdom in our life, to be able to allow other people in that would also help and be a voice in our lives to be able to see those things that maybe potentially we don't see them. That as we seek God, as we seek wisdom, that we'd also be aware that maybe, like Solomon understood from that young age, as he is appointed king, that maybe, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here. Maybe I don't have everything that it takes to be able to lead that space. Maybe I need someone as a bit of insight outside of my family setting to say, hey, and be a voice into that situation. That we would seek wisdom, that we would understand that we may have blind spots in certain aspects. That we would admit and understand that we don't have all the answers, we don't have it all together, and that in and through our lives, that we would have voices that would be able to speak into those spaces. That there would be, I just look down here and the many faces that I see that are voices in my life that would bring not just what I want to hear, but words of wisdom and insight in my life. We got the Bethys and the Chrissies and the Karens and people in my world that will bring a voice to actually, maybe there's something I'm not seeing. And they're not going to just be nice, they're going to be wise in what is to be said. In James 3 it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. That as we're seeking wisdom, that over here in this scripture, that James is talking about this wisdom that comes from above. That this wisdom that as we are seeking wisdom, acknowledging that we need wisdom in our life, that no matter what scenario we find ourselves in, but that wisdom first and foremost, that we would seek it from God above. that what does it look like in our space? Do we quickly run off to someone? Do we quickly pick up the phone and call someone? But that wisdom, that what we see in the life of Solomon was God imparting wisdom in his life to be able to lead his life and lead a tribe. That in our life, that we would acknowledge that, God, I need your wisdom in my life to be able to lead my life, to be able to lead my family, to be able to lead in work, to be able to lead in the places that you have positioned me, whether that is a leader in church, whatever that might be. That we would seek first that wisdom that comes from heaven above. That we would have space and time in our days, that we would order our days to be able to incorporate space where we are with God, whether that be from the wisdom of the Word of God, whether that be in silence, not just to ask and request all that we desire and need, but to be able to pause and listen. Well, God, what do you say? I'm facing this wall. I'm facing this challenge. I'm facing this situation. What wisdom from above? What space do we allow that pure wisdom from God alone will be able to speak into the situations we have? And as we seek God first, and we'll seek others, that we would have those voices. What I love about Bethy over here, she is full of love and grace and encouragement in my world. But if I go to her and there's a situation, she's like, she sees that I'm at wrong. She's not going to hold back. She's not going to say, hey, Michelle, I'm just going to encourage you in this. And I don't want that. And I think there's a part in our life where if we are closed off to be able to hear those wise voices in our life, they're probably not going to speak to you. They're probably like, he's not going to listen or she's not going to listen, so why even bother saying anything? But there has to be this openness in our lives to, one, receive wisdom, to be able to be open enough to say, hey, I give you permission. Where I am on that foolish pathway, when I'm on this pathway that is outside of where I'm meant to be, pull me up on it. That there will be people and voices in our life. Carly Smythe, the Smythe ladies, they're just awesome. In my world, she'll be like, Michelle. And I'm like, I love it and I need it. So that we would, one, have those people in our world that know our situation, that we trust, but also that we'd be open enough to be able to hear it. Because it's never easy hearing these things, is there? And sometimes anyone else, you know, being corrected, it's good, right? That we would openly hear it from God, but would openly hear it from others. To be able to help us stay on that pathway that is going to bring that fruit of wisdom in our life. That we would seek it, that we would have this pure wisdom, that we would seek God for that. And we'll pursue those wise people in our life that are able to speak in our lives. That it may be any situation. This week we had some people over, and Rod O'Donnell was there. And, you know, as you may have heard before, my lawn situation's terrible. It's still terrible, people. It is a terrible situation, the lawn. But he is excellent at lawn, and Brad Johns is excellent at lawn. And they give me all the advice, what to buy, what seed to do, what process in which you do it, not in summer, don't put the seed down, it's all going to burn. All these different things that we would seek wisdom in every area of our life. That whether it be like, I dream that I have green grass again. One day I'll get there. But then in finances, what does that look like? We're going to go and see somebody just this week. Like, what areas in the friendship, in the ways of life, that we would have these people in our lives that will help us be guided in the ways that we want to go? That we need to know that pathway in which we want to go. And we include and we ask those questions to those people in our lives that will help bring wisdom in those moments. That we see these two very clear pathways here. That pathway of wisdom, about to walk in wisdom and the fruit that that bears. But then there's this pathway of the foolish, the pathway of the wicked. And you might say, well, I don't really sit there. I'm not really sitting in that place of foolish. But, I'm not really stepping into this place of wisdom necessarily. I'm just hanging out here in the medium strip. But God wants us to be walking with him. That full throttle, being able to walk in that pathway of what he is calling us to. And you might be here and you're new and you're working this all out. Can I encourage you? The best thing is have someone, just come to me. I'll find you a friend. Because we all need one, let me tell you. We all need this. It's a lot to get your head around. But what people in our world, wise people, people that have been on that journey, Margaret Jones along that journey, that what we have, when we can't work out what is happening, what's God saying, what is all going on in our life, that we have people in our world that can speak truth, wisdom, encouragement to be able to walk that pathway. That we wouldn't just, you know, sit in the medium street and like, yeah, just whatever happens. If everything like just works out on a Sunday, am I in church? Fabulous. If not, you know, whatever happens, happens. But what we have in the life and as followers of Christ is this life that as we walk with God, as we invite Him into our life, that there is just an incredible opening and life and pathway that He has mapped out for us. And it is a journey, it's a roller coaster, it has the highs, it has the lows, and it has everything in between. And so we need to have those people alongside us to keep us on the path. Because sometimes, I know someone else in this room here, you might think that things are getting too hard, so I'm just going to just let it all go. And then you just leave it all behind. Church is too hard. I can't work it out. Who is Jesus? When did He rise? When did He die? What has happened? But to be able to invite people along that journey with you, to be able to encourage you on that walk. And that second part is to be able, as we walk in wisdom, that we would guard our heart. That in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above everything else you have because it determines the kind of life you'll live. That what we see in the life of Solomon, in Proverbs, it clearly sets out these two pathways. And that in Proverbs 4:23 here, it says, guard your life. Because as you guard it, or if you don't guard it, it is going to lead you to a place either where you want it to be or where you don't want it to be. But to guard your life. In the life of King Solomon, that whilst he is to this day, as we would say, that he is the wisest man. There was moments in his life where he was opened up his life. One would say the guard was dropped somewhat. And his life was now got self-indulgent, had all these sexual partners. There was altars being built. There as many wives and women. And all these little things that will lead us. It might start with, I'll just, you know, say that one thing. Or I'll just quickly watch this one thing. Or I'll quickly just, you know, do this other thing, which can lead us down a pathway if we don't guard our heart. That in wisdom, in Proverbs, it talks about guard your heart. In the Bible, it says guard it above all else. It's wicked and deceitful. Who even knows it? That we would put measures and places in position that would guard our life. That again, those trusted people in our life, that will be able to see, hey, something's a little off, what's going on, and ask the question. That we would walk with others. We have journey groups, we have connect groups, we have interest groups, and we'll be talking more about that in a few weeks' time. But can I encourage you that as we walk in wisdom, do it with others. Do it with others. If that is your one step for this year, that, you know, I've just been the Lone Ranger in life, I would challenge you, do it in community. Do it with someone that you trust. Do it in a group. Do it with just a couple. But have people in your world where you are able to be, one, be known by them, and also for you to be a voice to others. That we would walk together, walking in wisdom, to having people in our lives to be able to challenge us and to be challenged by that. And for anyone here, as we're looking at these two pathways, you know, like, I've just been, you know, saying and doing some stuff that actually probably doesn't line up with walking in wisdom. And that pathway that I'm on, you know, I'm just dabbling in some stuff, doing some stuff, and I know it's not right. What I love about God, who sent His Son the one who is righteous. When you look about that Proverbs 10, it talks about that righteous person. We are only righteous because of the one who came, and that Jesus has made us all right with God. And so as we're on this pathway, and you might be like, oh, my life is just not leaning and going in that direction I want it to. Can I tell you this? It's the righteousness writes our path. That God who has sent his son has come, and that no, if wherever we're on that pathway or ever in that situation where things are not lining up to the ways of God, that what is quick to meet us is the grace of God. What is quick to meet us is that God who has sent his son has forgiven all our sins, that we are made right with him. And that in this walk of wisdom, it is, if at all you feel condemned or anything like that, that is not of God. What God does, he says, hey, come on back. He is quick to forgive as soon as we come to him, to be able to continue on that journey, to be able to walk in wisdom, walk with him, to be able to live our lives rich and full and long and abundant, and because that wealth, not monetary necessarily wealth, but wealth in us because of the God who has created us. Abundant life, full life, eternal life as we walk in wisdom. I'm going to invite the team to come up, and I'm going to invite us to stand on our feet and love to just pray for us that as we wrap up today, that walking in wisdom, that if that's something you're like, I'm desiring more of that, I want more of that in my life, that for each one of us going into 2024, what does our days look? What does our month look? What does our 2024 look like? That we would first and foremost acknowledge that God, you know what the end of 24 looks like, and you know what everything in between looks like. But Lord, I'm wanting to lean in your wisdom. I want your understanding. I want to be able to discern for my life what is good and what is not so good for my life. They may both look good options, but would have wisdom from God, that he would impart that in our life in a greater measure, that as we walk in 2024, that we would walk in wisdom. If that's you and you want more of God's wisdom for your life, can I invite you just to open up your hands? This is just a way of saying, God, I'm open to receive. I acknowledge that in my life, I need you. I want your wisdom. I want that discernment. I want the voice of God, and my life is open to that. So we pray that prayer that Solomon prayed. That Jesus, we pray that you would pour out your wisdom in us. For every person with their hands open, wanting to be led by you, wanting wisdom to understand, to be able to know the good and the bad, that right path of which you're calling us to. That Jesus, that we would have a discerning spirit. That Lord, by your presence and by your spirit that is at work in us, that spirit, that we would know it, that we would have a discernment in our decision making. Lord, I pray that your presence would be known to each one of us. And I pray for anyone who maybe is on that pathway and so I just need to come to God the Father and say, forgive me for those things that I've said, things that I've done. That Lord, I thank you that your forgiveness is for us today. I know for my life this morning, I'm like, God, forgive me for the words that I've said that haven't been uplifting and edifying. But God, that you would release, Lord, a freedom because of your forgiveness over hearts of people. There'll be no one that will be held back as a result of that. But Jesus, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, yeah, give Jesus a clap. We're going to continue in worship and our team's going to lead us.